Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
LeBron is clock. Producers jack. They want to be down with the crowd.
All right, BT and Sal, top story of the day. Going to hit the crown. A little crown time here. We'll get back to the calls. The top story of the day for me is, yeah, I think everybody knows the Yankees are good. Of course. The problem is they're not good enough. They're not good enough based on the matchup that they're going to have to get by to get to the World Series. And this is not a developmental year. This is not like the Mets, a transitional year, even though the Mets might mess around and have a little fun here and do something. The Yankees are expected to win. And the Yankees, even, you know, even without the acquisition of Soto, and I've said this on the air, you got Judge in his prime. You got Cole in his prime. Like, there's only so many years this window's open. And I think the window is open, but it's not nearly as open this year as many of you thought going into these games with the Orioles. Baltimore's better. They're just faster. And they're going to win the kind of games that you need to win in October to win a World Series. So Brian Cashman, who has been the source of consternation for me for years, I changed my tune. Why wouldn't I? They looked awesome. And then you do a little bit of a deeper dive here, and you're like, okay, it's a two-man show, maybe two and a half with Verdugo and Volpe, you know, whatever, one of those two. Neither stars, but good. And they just don't have enough horses. There's too many easy outs. The infield is a wreck. They need to make, not tweaks, big changes before it's too late.
And I don't think it's just the last two games. When you look at the last 10, the Yankees have not been playing great baseball. However, I do think there is a little bit of an overreaction here. Okay. And remember, I was saying, hey, look, they lost 3-4 to Baltimore. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, you're nuts. They're the best team in the world. They still have some flaws that were being covered up, sure. But they're still one of the best teams in baseball. Like, right there in the American League, I don't care if the Yankees don't make any other moves. And you know that they will. Cashman's going to upgrade the bullpen. They'll figure it out with the infield. It may be a little bit more than you would have liked or that you would have thought, but they'll figure that out. At worst, they're still the second-best team in the American League. And if they have Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil, you know, clicking going into the postseason, that could be an advantage over Baltimore. Clay Holmes a better closer than Craig Kimbrell. So I still trust the Yankees. I know it hasn't been good head-to-head against Baltimore. I still think the Yankees can beat them in a series and be as good as anybody and are as good as anybody with the understanding that they're going to make change, but I thought that anyway. So I'm not going to overreact and go nuts on Cashman now. He had a good offseason. It could have been better, I said at the time, but I'm not going to overreact to them getting spanked by the Orioles yesterday.
Listen, I'm enjoying the season. I'm entertained for the most part nightly. I mean, you get a chance to watch Soto and Judge, you know, digging back-to-back. It's rare stuff. And then you throw in Volpe's ascension in year two. It's fun. The problem is, they are just too reliant on too few people. Like, there's not a, you know, the way you describe a good lineup is it's circular. There's really, even though there literally is a beginning, who's batting first and who's batting last, but the best lineups, the Yankee teams of the past, there was no real identifiable end or leg. Right. It's just a big circle. All right, even if it's not Birdie, it's Brocious. If it's not Brocious, it's Jeter. If it's not Jeter, it's Paul O'Neill. And I'm not just hearkening back to those days because there's other teams, I think, like the Astros before they fall off this year. The Dodgers are more equipped like that this year. And I think the Orioles are as well. The Yankees lineup is not circular enough. They need to add. And while I'm thankful as a fan and as a baseball observer, and again, I'm enjoying this season. I really am. It's fun. If they don't make changes, they will not win the World Series.
Let me ask you, though, because their lineup has basically been the same. So why would you say that now? Is it just a realization of, okay, maybe we were overlooking things?
Well, it's number one, it's the realization that DJ LeMahieu was done. And right. They keep trotting him out there.
But you felt like, I know you did, and I did the same. Like, we never believed that LeMahieu was going to be an impact bat.
But I also didn't think they'd run him out there every day, which they do, which is a problem. So I thought Rizzo had a little more in the tank than you. I was wrong.
Right.
I thought that in a contract year, well, I've never been a Torres fan. Everybody knows that. I thought he'd be better than this. I was wrong. I thought that Austin Wells would hit a little bit more. And I still think he will. Yeah. I'm not giving up on the young man. I do like him, but he hasn't yet. So I was wrong. So you got to react. But you can have these takes coming into the season and then react to what you see. And that's what I'm doing.
No, and I'm just saying, because I felt like we watched this Yankee lineup. The one thing that I've been shocked at is Giancarlo Stanton, how productive he's been for them. But I was always looking at it as being a little bit top heavy, where to your point with the circular lineup, like the bottom of the order. Although, before they move Verdugo up, I thought the bottom was okay. If he was hitting sixth or seventh, whatever it may be. Once they move him up, now the bottom of the order becomes really thin. Although Oswaldo Cabrera in there, I think that could help out. But I still felt like there were some flaws with this team. But the top was so good. And Verdugo and Stanton, and compare, you know, where you pair them with those top three guys. I mean, that's kind of, this is what they've been all year long. I mean, all right, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. They easily could have won 2 out of 3. I do think they need to upgrade the ball club, but I felt that before, so I'm not really changing. I guess my point is I'm not really changing my opinion too much on this Yankee team based off of losing 2 out of 3.
Well, listen, I don't know that I thought this right away, and maybe on some level this is kind of fueling some of my thought here. So Aaron Judge gets hit the other day. Thankfully, he's fine.
Oh,
Mookie Betts is out. 2 months, basically the same kind of, you know, hit by pitch. If Aaron Judge was out for 2 months,
they'd be dead.
It's a one-man show.
But you
the Dodgers are dead with Ohtani and Will Smith,
right? Freeman
and Freddie Freeman. Yeah. Like, the Phillies wouldn't be dead if Harper went down for a month. I don't think the Braves, they lost to Acuña. They're not playing like they should be, right. But they're not dead. The Yankees would be dead.
Well, we've had this conversation earlier, and the whole conversation was changed in the beginning of the year, where everybody was saying, well, look at what they've done the first month with Judge doing nothing. This team can now overcome Aaron Judge being out. And once Judge started going on that tear, that's when I said they cannot. They need him. I don't care if Soto's there or not.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. I mean, look, they need to upgrade. They're still one of the best teams in baseball. I mean, still, I wouldn't be shocked if they go out there and sweep the Braves and win 2 out of 3. They will. I think the question comes down to this, BT. Do you believe Cashman will make the right moves, the necessary moves at the deadline? Because it's not like he doesn't know it. We don't talk to Brian Cashman, but you assume he's watching the team just like we are.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees some flaws as well, and he's going to want to put the finishing touches on what he believes to be a World Series winning team. Do you trust that he will get that done?
No.
There you go. I don't.
You know what I think is going to happen? I think we're going to be, I don't know when, but before the deadline. And I know that he'll make moves.
Right.
But I believe we're going to come in one day and we're going to be ranting and raving about how the hell did this team acquire that guy? Why didn't Mike Corbin Burns a little bit? Although I understood, you know, I don't want to give up Spencer Jones either. But that, I believe that that's going to happen more than multiple impact moves required to make this a true World Series team.
And I understand why you say that, because that has been the MO. If it doesn't change this year, then the results won't change either as far as the Yankees getting to or winning their first World Series since 2009.
Correct. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, love the fan. Get back to these Yankee calls. Oh, I also asked Sal before about the Mets, and, you know, where's the Mets fan mentality right now? Even though you lost the one game, you guys have been rocking and the whole Grimace stuff, which is fun for mostly everybody.
Wow.
Except Sal. And you got a weekend with the weekend date with the Cubs. You got a day game at Wrigley. You got the Yankees on the horizon.
Sunday night, too, I think. The Mets are Sunday night baseball.
Oh, really?
Right?
I didn't even see that.
I believe the Mets are Sunday night baseball, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
You are correct.
Yeah, you got Friday afternoon, today at 2.
All right.
Saturday. What time's tomorrow start? You have that one up there?
Is that a Fox game tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I believe, is another 2:20.
2:20.
Is that a Fox game? I don't know. Either way, that's a 2:20.
And then Sunday night baseball, Mets Cubs.
Okay. All right.
2 out of 3 at least.
And where will these teams be when they meet early next week? I mean, are the Mets going to still be rolling? Are the Yankees going to be scuffled a bit? We shall find that interesting pivotal point, somewhat pivotal, in both seasons here. All right, let's get back to you guys here. Sam's up in the Bronx with BT and Sal. Hello, Sam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, so just want to say, huge fans of you guys. I listen to you guys a lot, but I'm usually working, so I can't call in, but I can listen in every now and then. So so great work by you guys.
Appreciate that, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
So just real quick on the Yankees. I rip Cashman year after year. I think he constantly does not put together good teams. I mean, how many years did we go without a left fielder, a center fielder? You know, how many
lefty
years
bats.
Did we go without a shortstop?
Lefty
yeah,
bats.
Lefty bats. You know, a reliable catcher. Yeah, so all that being
is that all?
I think Cashman has put together a very good team. Are there some holes? Yes. But if you look at every single offensive stat, the Yankees are in the top five. Every single one. Batting average, on base, slugging.
Because of two
OPS,
guys. And Sam, because of two guys.
Yeah, but BT, if you take off the best player on the team, they are also going to go down in the numbers as well. You can't make the argument like, yeah, if you take off two of the guys that are the best players in baseball,
yeah,
then the team isn't as good.
Of well, Sam, hold on. Let me flip something here. Sam, hold on. I want to have a conversation with you. I do agree. That's common sense, man. I mean, you take off a best player, there's going to be a drop in performance. Got that. But I would submit to you, if you took off one of the take off either Soto or Judge, pick one, right? And then look at the rest of the lineup. We know who all the players are. How does that lineup stack up to the other elite teams in baseball if you take off one of their top players? And my answer is, it's inferior.
I think if you take off, to be honest, I think if you take off Gunnar Henderson off of the Orioles lineup, literally, I haven't done it, but if you take off Gunnar Henderson out of that lineup,
yep,
are they going to be a zero-win team? No, but they're probably out of the top five and all of the things that I'm talking about.
But so would the Yankees. But so would the Yankees be.
Okay, but the good thing is they're both playing with those, and they're both, and the Yankees are beating them in those categories.
But they're not beating the Orioles when say, the... But hold on. They're not beating them in the category that matters, head-to-head.
No, listen, BT, I totally get that, but I'm talking about the team overall. We're in June right now. They've played seven games, but I'm saying also, we're talking, if you took a look at the RSP numbers too, running as a scoring position numbers, it's not just Soto and Judge that get those opportunities. They lead in OPS. They're second in OPS. They lead in slugging. They're top five in on-base percentage. Top five in batting average. I mean, these are like, it's not just, like, you could take out Soto and Judge out of the equation, but they're not, like, you're still going to get good numbers from all those players. Five out of the nine players.
I disagree there. Above, Sam, I disagree with that part.
Can I just say one more thing real quick?
Yeah.
We can disagree on that. I just want to say one more thing about this whole Soto thing, and I know you don't agree with this, but Sal, I love you. We don't agree on a lot of things, but I think you have really good baseball intuition. I know you love the game, but let me just say something. What you get with Soto, when you're saying, oh, he's walking too much, oh, yada, 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 all that stuff, if you go to CBS, which is, I think, partnered with your station, late inning pressure situation. He's batting .379 with an .862 slug. If you want to look at the seventh inning or later, he is batting .316 with a .605 slug. This guy is a machine when it counts and late in the game. So,
nobody's ever questioned that, Sam, and thank you for the call. One of the reasons why I loved Juan Soto way before he was a New York Yankee was because of what he did in the postseason. I'm not doubting that Juan Soto is clutch or can't perform in the big spot. What I said was, Juan Soto, you have to understand, you're looking at it from a different perspective. The Mets, sadly, are going to be looking for Juan Soto to be their savior. And when you put those expectations on somebody, it's impossible to live up to that, basically, is the way that it would go. There's no way Soto could live up to it, even as great as he is. Now, when you combine that with the money that he's going to be getting, with the way he plays defense, and with the way he takes his at-bats, which is as great as anybody that's ever lived, but also be more than willing to pass the baton, that's not something that's going to fly with me. That would drive me nuts on a nightly basis. If you're paying somebody $600 million or more, and he's butchering balls in right field, and he comes up in a big spot late in the game and draws a walk to pass the baton to Pete Alonso, that would drive. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying I don't want him, because I do. I'm not saying I don't think he's great, because I do. I'm just saying there are things about Juan Soto's game that if you're going to pay him $600 or more, which the Mets are going to have to get him likely, that are going to drive me nuts. That's all.
I got you. Inside of our Telfair Tire studio, friends at Telfair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Telfair Tire. Nobody. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. When you take the walk and you pass the baton to Aaron Judge, no harm, no foul. When
right.
you take the walk and you pass the baton to, who knows if Pete's even here next
or
year.
Whoever,
or
yeah.
whomever. Yeah, I mean, it's like, all right, I can understand that.
I guess it could be Alvarez, theoretically, but still, you get the point.
Like, I understand what you're saying.
Soto's not the guy on the Yankees. They have the guy in Aaron Judge. Soto with the Mets is going to have enormous expectations. Not saying he can't, you know, fulfill them to a certain extent. I just think there's this feeling of like Juan Soto's the perfect baseball player and a superstar. You, BT, were shooting this down before anybody,
mm-hmm.
saying that, hey, let's pump the brakes a little bit. The guy's not that great.
Well, I mean, I think his offensive performance, not this year, but you know, the way he's perceived as this generational hitter, I think it's hijacked a little bit. People talk about him like he's Barry Bonds. I mean, you know, he is in the sense in terms of working the count and stuff. But
who's the better ball player, Judge or Soto?
I'll take Judge.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, I'll take Aaron
and that's
Judge.
My point. But Soto's going to get, and I get because he's younger, but
yeah,
still.
Well, it's his time to get paid. Yeah, it is what it is.
And he's not going to hit 50 home runs and impact games like that. He's going to draw a bunch of walks and be on base.
Yep.
He's not a great defensive player. Judge is a better defensive player.
Like, yep.
And I'm not nitpicking or criticizing him. I love Juan Soto. However, he's not a top superstar.
And I don't disagree. Huh. I've been saying that. I remember referencing, you know, where he ranked, you know, some of the metrics on base, on the base paths, mm-hmm. pardon me, and defensively last year. You know, now I know he worked a lot this offseason as an outfielder, and I'm not going to overreact to the two miscues the last couple of games. Both of those were unique in the sense that they were line drives, and
right.
Listen, you're a major leaguer. You got to be able to get a good read. You can't take a step in. The ball's going over your head. You're not 10 years old. I know that.
Now, if that happened when you're making $600 million on the Mets, imagine the reaction.
You're going to hear some boos. Yeah. You're going to hear some groans. I think what's interesting about Soto is that what he's great at, he's generationally great at.
Right.
Nobody's here to refute that. But there's, I think you're always going to want a little more statistically. Again, not this year because he's been great. Statistically, because you have to, in your mind, I need stats commensurate with $50 or $60 million a year. And over his career so far, he hasn't always given you that.
Bryce Harper or Juan Soto?
I'll take Juan Soto.
Over Bryce Harper?
I
would rather have Bryce Harper. Now, I'm
not talking a little more durable.
I'm not talking about age.
No, I don't.
Like, obviously, if you factor in the age, I'm talking about ball player. Impact on the game. Impact on the team.
So you don't mean right now? Because the age is interesting to me.
I'm not talking about projecting.
Bryce at 25 or Juan at 25?
Yeah, or Bryce at his best versus what Juan does at his best. I'd rather have...
I might have to revise that and go with Harper.
And me too. And that's kind of the point. Now, again, it's still top, you know, 10, whatever you want to say, in the game, maybe even higher. I'm just saying, I'm talking to me, because I'm the one who wants Soto more than anybody. I've been whispering it. I've been screaming at King Cohen, go get Soto. And then the more I watch him every day, the more I know that if, in fact, the Mets do get him and pay him $700 million, it's going to drive me nuts when he walks in a big spot or butchers a ball in right field. That's all.
Just laying the foundation so you're not hurt as much.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mental self-preservation is a powerful tool there, Sal.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets to see the Bombers take on Atlanta at the stadium coming up on this Sunday, June 23. Nice, great seats as well. Right now we'll do call the number 10-866-540-WFAN. If you want to get in the house and watch the Yankees, hopefully get back to business here, 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win. And it's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, Box Office Blitz, and The Fan. Make sure you guys tune in again on Monday with BT and Sal, same time, to get a hookup again. All right, it is BT and Sal's 12:30 on the button on this Friday, 888-808-1019. Very quickly, before we get back to these Yankees, primarily Yankees, but also Met calls as well. Met fans are pumped up after a little day off to get back into it. 2 o'clock, first pitch, Cubbies and the Mets. So, Sal, I know that you had a chance to catch up with the Schmooze.
Yes.
How did that go?
It was great. I had him on the... I told you what happened yesterday or 2 days ago. He emailed us saying, hey, I'd love to come on and talk about Willie Mays. I didn't see the email until after the show.
So he doesn't text, I assume? Not a texter?
He does not text.
Got it. No. Okay, keep going.
A landline, if anything, with Steve. So then I was like, well, why don't you come on the WFA and Daily podcast? So we did it yesterday. I had him for at least, I would say, 40 minutes. I'm like, hey, Steve, good to have you on. Willie Mays, he goes right into it.
Right into it.
Now, you got to remember, he saw Willie Mays as a young kid when he was living in San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, at the age of 10 through, I don't know, let's say he saw him for 8 years, 10 years, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to have first-person account for seeing him in person. I was trying to, you know, get a feel for that. His favorite player was always Willie McCovey.
But Stretch. They called him Stretch.
Oh, lived in the same building with him. Man, and Steve, it just turned into a great conversation about Steve's life and career.
Yeah.
He's got a book coming out. I said, yeah, you owe me, because he's been asking me for some of these numbers to get everybody on and talk about his memoirs. I'm like, you owe me and us, BT and Sal, come in studio. He says he listens all the time, so we appreciate that.
Shout out Schmooze.
Yeah, I want him in studio when he's on tour here to promote his book, Memoirs, which I think he said should be ready next year.
Oh, so, well, nice. Okay.
But it was a fun conversation. Thanks for bringing it up. Check it out. So he wanted to talk about Willie Mays, so you got some good stuff in there about his career and all those different things about the history of Fan in the book, WFAN Daily podcast.
Didn't his parents have a grocery store?
Yeah, his father, I think, was a grocer.
Right?
Yeah, he talks... You know what? I don't even want to...
Don't give away too much. I don't want to ruin what you guys did.
I know, but he was also talking about stuff in his personal life. Yes, he talked about that, you know, his parents and you know, his father was a grocer and talked about their impact in increments, but their impact on him. They talked about his brother. His brother had some health issues and things like that. So he gets into that, which is something he never really discussed on the air.
I never heard that.
Yeah,
I've heard of a ton.
I knew it because I worked with him. I produced him. So I would be there when he was, you know, on the phone with his brother and trying to care for his brother. Things that people don't, you know, you hear it, and we're in the entertainment business. Like, we're supposed to provide the escape for people who got problems going on. We all got problems. Everybody's got problems. So you don't want to bring them on the air. But I remember, because I'm working with him, some of the challenges that he faced trying to care for his brother while his parents are no longer here, and then going on the air and still being the Schmooze and entertaining people. So he never really discussed that on the air, but he's going to talk about that in his book. I think that's going to be enlightening to people. That's just one little thing that we talked about.
Awesome. I'm sure it's great. Yeah. It's going to be up there. You guys can dig into it pretty soon. Where can they find it again? Just so...
Well, his book's not out.
No, the podcast.
Anywhere you download your podcast.
Okay. All right. There you go. WFAN Daily. BT and Sal here. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to you. Jerry in Chester, New York. What's up, Jer?
Hey, guys. Couple things with the Yankees. After the last two games, especially yesterday's game, I don't care what any Yankees fan thinks or anyone thinks, the Yankees bullpen is not good anymore. It is bad. It is horrible. Clay Holmes reminds me of Wetland from 96. You're always nervous. You weren't sure it was going to happen. Yep. Either he won the game or he blew the game. So, to me, Holmes he can be maybe the setup guy, but they got to get a closer in here or someone they know they can rely on that can get an easy 1-2-3 out. I know Mariano's not walking through the door no more, but they got to find somebody who's not going to make us sweat out every close game. Like, that the other night was just horrifying. Like, I can't watch him anymore.
Yeah,
and he's...
Canley can be a high-leverage guy that you have in the back end. Like, he's somebody I would trust. I mean, look, they lost Loizaga. He was supposed to be the next guy.
Yeah.
Efros coming back, right? Efros, yep. I always get it wrong.
Efros, I always say Efros.
Efros, whatever. Efros potentially coming back. Heyman reported yesterday. So I do think they'll figure out the bullpen. I mean, if that's your biggest issue, you're okay. The problem is it's not necessarily their biggest issue.
No, which is what we've discussed a lot today. You know, it's funny. Here we are. We could probably, if we wanted to, not that I believe this, but, I mean, Sal might believe it more than me. We could have done a couple of hours today on why it's just a couple of games against the Orioles during the regular season. Yankees are still built to win a World Series. I don't believe that. That's why I haven't said that. And they're still going to win a lot of games. But think about, we could have done that because of Soto and Judge and Heel bouncing back and Cole back and blah, 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 and Volpe 2.0. But... We have not said that because you find me a team that's got a chance to win a championship that really needs to overhaul almost every single infield position.
Do you worry at all about the confidence that this gives the Orioles, knowing what they did last year, taking 3 of 4 early on this year, even though the Yankees were running roughshod over the rest of Major League Baseball and the Yankees still ahead of them in the standings, mm-hmm. the Orioles trouncing them yesterday, taking another 2 out of 3 in their house after all that went on with the retaliation, do you worry about the impact that that now has feeding them even more confidence?
It's part of my calculation. It's a real thing. I don't care what age you play. If you think that you own a team, it's going to manifest itself favorably. If nothing else, you're just going to be a little looser. You know what I mean? Because you expect good things to happen when you play this team. So, yeah, I mean, think about what—now, we did it on the air, and they did it down in Baltimore. They were in the middle of, you know, guys getting banged with fastballs, both teams, mm-hmm. you know, 2 apiece, and a couple of up and in that didn't hit people, thank God. And what do? They waltzed out, and they found a way to win both games. Two very different games. So right now they're sitting there saying, we're good to go. And they should. Gary's in, not that they won't add, but, yeah, they think that they're better than the Yankees, and I think that they are as well right now. Gary's in Monroe. Gary, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I got a couple of points I want to make. First of all, I've been a Yankee fan since 1967. So I've been around this game. I've seen a lot of managers. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. Cashman, everybody's knocking Cashman. Cashman brings the Yankees so many good players. And Boone does not put them in the positions that I feel that they should be put in. Like, for instance, the catcher, the young kid, Wells, should be starting. You can't platoon 2 catches. You're going to make 2 catches cold. Second of all...
No, there's no catcher who catches every day anymore. Like, that's a thing of the past. You almost need 2 catches in today's day and age. It's like a running back.
Yeah, but now you make it... All right, you substitute him once in a while, but you're going to make 2 guys not hitting. You can't play Wells every 3 games because there's a righty or lefty pitcher. How's the kid going to hit? Like, and then you have Clay Holmes that they think is Mariano Rivera. He's not Mariano Rivera. And I think their best pitcher, the young kid, Weaver, he's been pitching so good. So, you know, you have to maneuver your guys properly in the proper positions, and Boone does not know how to do it. And when they play good teams, mm-hmm. he don't compete with the other managers. He's lost.
I think that's unfair. Gary, I think that's unfair.
Come on.
I think that's unfair. I don't even think that's remotely accurate. That is an unfair characterization of Aaron Boone, in my opinion. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm definitely not saying that. But he needs more horses to work with.
How can you? Listen, they got him. He got Soto. He got all these top guys.
And he got the most wins in baseball.
Yeah.
Manage him right. Huh?
Gary, he's got the most wins in baseball. I'm not saying he's perfect. Thanks for the call. And I don't think Gary's alone. I think there's a lot of people don't believe that Aaron Boone is that level manager. And maybe he's not.
I think he's got to prove himself in the postseason, but come on. What are we talking about here?
But the way that was asserted, that was unfair.
Like, this is Boone's fault that they lost 2 out of 3 to the Orioles because of his moves, because he's not starting Austin Wells. I got news for you. If Austin Wells could hit, he'd be the starting catcher. They're not rotating the catchers. Trevino's a starter. Austin Wells gets in there on occasion. You have 2 catchers. You want it the opposite way because you think Austin Wells is going to be something special. Guess what? He hasn't hit. Every opportunity he's got this year, he's done nothing with it. That's not Boone's fault. That's Austin Wells' fault.
Yeah, and I still think Wells is going to hit, you know that, but until he starts hitting, you know, it's not like Torino's hitting 209.
Right.
he's okay. He's a softish hitter. He's got actually a few more home runs than I thought, but, you know, he's just, the problem's not Aaron Boone. The problem is, you know, it's funny.
It's Boone's fault that LeMahieu was washed up.
No.
I mean, come on, that's a big problem. If DJ LeMahieu was 2019 DJ LeMahieu,
oh, God,
this would be an entirely different conversation here.
If that was the case, then you could have Volpe 1, DJ 2, yeah, right. Soto 3, Judge 4, Verdugo 5, and away we go. But so, no, he's cooked.
Not only is he not one of the game's best hitters and putting bat on the ball and being clutch, he's washed up. Like, there wasn't a, well, he was 320 hitter, now he's a 280 hitter.
He can't play. He can't move.
Just watch him run.
He can't do anything. Now, this last year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, if the ball's at him, he's going to catch it. He's got reliable hands, but he just can't move. He can't move. That's not Boone's fault.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
There you go. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal is the show. I don't know. One of the juicy sidebars I thought was going to be pretty fun watching Severino. I was looking forward to this. Severino going up against some of his former teammates in the Subway Series on Tuesday. But apparently, he is now not going to pitch against the Yankees, despite that being the plan as recently as 15 minutes ago. I guess he's pitching Sunday instead.
Yeah, I was going to say the Subway Series has already taken a hit here with no Severino versus Cole. I was excited about that matchup. And the question that I would have, is there more to it? So Carlos Mendoza just met the media a little while ago. Mets, of course, will be taking on the Cubs at 2 o'clock in Wrigley Field. He said that the Mets decided to move Severino up from Tuesday to Sunday. Now, it is normal rest. Severino pitched last on Tuesday, so it would be his fifth day, normal rest Sunday night. And he said it was strictly matchup-based. The Mets then moved David Peterson back to start on Tuesday against the Yankees.
Throw a lefty at him.
Two lefties in a row at him, Peterson and then Sean Manaea. But, I mean, if you ask me, would I rather have Luis Severino, the Mets' best pitcher, facing the Yankees and Gerrit Cole, or David Peterson facing the Yankees? I mean, it's obviously Luis Severino, and I wonder if Sevy, now they didn't say this. Mendoza said they went to Severino and basically told him, and he said, whatever is best for you. Yeah. But maybe Mendy's covering for him here. Maybe Severino didn't want to face his former team.
Oh, I have a hard time believing that.
Well, then what's the issue here? Well, you're telling me it really is matchup based? You're going to move him up? I think Mendy, maybe if Sevy didn't ask out, maybe Mendy was like, you know what, let's just not do that to him. Or maybe he really doesn't like, say, you know, the idea that the Yankees could tattoo Severino. I don't know, but isn't that odd that you would remove your best pitcher from starting a game that you had him scheduled to start against the Yankees?
I know what you mean, like emotionally, but the fact that Sunday represents regular rest for Severino.
Yeah.
Now, if it was the opposite, where, all right,
then they'd really be.
Oh, then, all right, so not only is he not pitching against the Yankees, but now you're going to pitch him irregularly. That would make, I think my intent would be up more with that. And oh, yeah, by the way, I mean, this is very easily provable. I'm looking at it right now. All right, team average, Yankees versus lefty starters, 237.
Okay.
Versus righties, almost 260.
Okay.
I mean, that's 20 plus points, pretty appreciable. And the OPS against lefties is 705, and versus righties, it's almost 790. So, if they're going to lean on stats, which you can't refute, I'm looking at them right now.
They did say it was
problem with it.
All right,
I would have liked to have seen it. It would have been fun. Do I think that he's, like, wimping out? No, I don't think that.
All right, but then what about the other part of it? Okay, matchup-based. So, I'll take Mendy at his word. And to be fair to him, he's been transparent with the media. So, I'm not going to insinuate that he's lying or trying to cover up. Okay. But if you're Severino, wouldn't you say to him, Mendy, I want the ball against
you? Yes, I would.
So he could have also said that. Like, I know the Mets could go to him and say, hey, matchup base, what do you think? And instead of saying whatever you need, say, I want them.
Mm-hmm.
I want them. I want the Subway Series. I want to go face my former team, a team that, you know, let me walk. I know it was bad for them, but I still want to go against them.
Did they give him the option at all? Like, Mendoza receptive to any pushback?
I didn't
hear that part. I just heard the little snippet before
we came back. It just sounded like he basically said that they went to him and told him, and then Severino accepted it, saying, whatever's best for the team, I'm fine. All which right. I do respect, but come on.
Yeah,
don't you want to face the Yankees?
Yeah. I mean, I would.
I hate how the Mets have done this for years. Their pitching matchups, like minimizing the importance of the Subway Series. Hey, get it through your heads. It matters. It matters more than the series against the Cubs. You may not want to think it because these stats and data analytical nerds look at all the games the same and think it's more important to move a guy. By the way, BT, how often do teams move up a starter to a regular Sunday night baseball game even? Doesn't matter, right? Hey, he was supposed to start Tuesday. We're going to move him up because of matchup. They don't do that often at all.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not make it like that's a regular occurrence. For years, though, the Mets have not lined up their pitching to have the best pitching possible against the Yankees, and it's driven me up a freaking wall. These series mean more. They mean more to your fans. Bottom line, if the Mets were dead and buried at 10 games under, the Subway Series would still mean something. Matter of fact, it'd mean even more. So it means something. So to take a guy who you had scheduled to start that game, your best pitcher, against his former team, and move him last minute, which is kind of last minute, your Friday less than a week away, to me, that's, I just don't like that at all.
But it's backed up by stats.
Yeah, well, you know what you could do with the stats? I almost got nasty right there.
I saw it. I saw the gyrations, the veins, the head popping.
You know what
popping.
You could do with those stats?
I know.
Okay, but now hold on a second. You said something, honestly, that I think is foolish, even though I understand it. You said that the Subway Series means more. Literally, it doesn't. What's more important, playing the Yankees twice or playing the Cubs, who you're competing for a playoff spot, three games? So, team that's in your way, one more game, or the symbolism and the fanfare of the Subway Series, which I like the Subway Series.
Let me ask you this way. If you polled 10,000 Met fans and said, would you rather get swept by the Cubs and win both games from the Yankees, or sweep the Cubs and lose both games from the Yankees, what do you think their answer would be?
I think most years, I think I know what their answer would be. I think this year might be different.
No,
maybe I'm naive with that. But then I would say, then they're idiots if they place more emphasis on something that really doesn't mean anything.
It
more
does
than,
mean something. Yeah,
but the Cubs means more because it's another game. You're chasing a wild card.
Well, in that case, then all the games are equal. So I'm giving you the scenario: would you rather beat the Cubs for three games? Or
I'd
beat
rather
the Yankees
win one more game than I lose.
You can make up that game down the road. I want to sweep the Yankees every time.
Save the clip and listen. Who knows if they're going to get swept by the Cubs and or sweep the Yankees? Probably neither will happen. Probably somewhere in between. But save this.
They could sweep both.
Now they could save this because the day that the Mets miss out on the wild card, the final one by a half a game, I want to play this. I want to say, Sal, you have fun beating the Yankees a couple times back in June?
I'll say, matter of fact, I did. You can ask me. I can remember every Mets win against the Yankees starting with 1997. I can remember those for the Subway Series, especially in the beginning. Yeah, Cub wins, regular season? Come on, don't really remember them at all.
Wow.
It means more. I know what you're saying.
I do get it. I hear you. I do hear you.
I get your side of it. I hate that they, the Mets, take the emotion out of it. Treat it like it is special because it is special to your fans. The Cubs aren't going to sell out Citi Field. The Yankees might. I don't even know in today's day and age. But
we'll make ourselves comfortable. We'll get you up to the 45.
They used to be, whatever, but it used to be guaranteed sellouts. It's going to be close to it. The Cubs on a Tuesday or Wednesday are drawing what for the Mets?
Honestly, the way the Mets are playing, the Cubs have some fans.
Tuesday night, Wednesday night?
25, 28.
And what are the Yankees drawing on a Tuesday, Wednesday night?
Yeah, 35, 38, 40, 40. You mean, wait, Yankees versus Mets or just Yankees versus anybody?
No, Yankees versus Mets for the Mets.
Sell out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It means more. More people, your fans, the Mets, I'm talking to you, more of your fans care about the Yankee series than they do about this series with the Cubs, which, by the way, is in Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
So it's not just the data.
Yeah, but hold on, that's not true either because I think for the Mets to get the sellout, part of the reason why the Mets will get the sellout against the Yankees is because a lot of Yankee fans are going to be going to City
Field.
Well,
I mean, that is true. But that makes the Mets fans care even more, too, because now you have Yankee fans in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. These games do mean more. Let's not pretend that they don't
because they don't. Literally.
In the standings, they literally don't.
Okay.
But
I'm with you on the other stuff.
Well, I mean,
what's more important, the standings? Yeah. Let me ask you this. Go back to an old-time Mets fan before they had the wild cards, right? So all the years, there was like certainly 84, definitely 85, and even 84, when they kept losing out by a game or so to the Cardinals, right? Think about that. Now, you didn't have a wild card back then, whatever. Even the Yankees losing out to Toronto in the 80s when they had no pitching but big offense with Ricky and Donnie and Dave. I mean, a game can literally mean you're either in the playoffs or you're not.
Right. Okay, let me ask you it this way. Do you think the Mets have a better chance of beating the Yankees with Severino on the mound or David Peterson?
Well, I've got a theory. I think you're going to really appreciate this. I want to save it, though. I've got a theory on why they're actually doing this with Severino. I don't know if I'm right. I want to float it by you. We'll get to it coming up next. BT and Sal.
He can't do anything. Now, this last year.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Like, if the ball's at him, he's going to catch it. He's got reliable hands, but he just can't move. That's not Boone's fault.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call The Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
There you go. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal is the show. I don't know. One of the juicy sidebars I thought was going to be pretty fun watching Severino. I was looking forward to this. Severino going up against some of his former teammates in the Subway Series on Tuesday. But apparently, he is now not going to pitch against the Yankees, despite that being the plan as recently as 15 minutes ago. I guess he's pitching Sunday instead.
Yeah, I was going to say the Subway Series.
You're a little
scared? Subway Series has already taken a hit here with no Severino versus Cole. I was excited about that matchup. And the question that I would have, is there more to it? So Carlos Mendoza just met the media a little while ago. Mets, of course, will be taking on the Cubs at 2 o'clock in Wrigley Field. He said that the Mets decided to move Severino up from Tuesday to Sunday. Now, it is normal rest. Severino pitched last on Tuesday, so it would be his fifth day, normal rest, Sunday night. And he said it was strictly matchup-based. The Mets then moved David Peterson back to start on Tuesday against the Yankees.
Throw a lefty at him.
Two lefties in a row, Adam Peterson, and then Sean Manaea. But, I mean, if you ask me, would I rather have Luis Severino, the Mets' best pitcher, facing the Yankees and Gerrit Cole, or David Peterson facing the Yankees? I mean, it's obviously Luis Severino, and I wonder if Sevy... Now, they didn't say this. Mendoza said they went to Severino and basically told him, and he said, whatever is best for you. Yeah. But maybe Mendy's covering for him here. Maybe Severino didn't want to face his former
team. Oh, I have a hard time believing that.
Well, then what's the issue here? Well, you're telling me it really is matchup-based? You're going to move him up? I think Mendy, maybe if Sevy didn't ask out, maybe Mendy was like, you know what, let's just not do that to him. Or maybe he really doesn't like, you know, the idea that the Yankees could tattoo Severino. I don't know, but... Isn't that odd that you would remove your best pitcher from starting a game that you had him scheduled to start against the Yankees?
I know what you mean, like emotionally, but the fact that Sunday represents regular rest for Severino.
Yeah.
Now, if it was the opposite, where, all right,
then it'd really be.
Oh, then, all right, so not only is he not pitching against the Yankees, but now you're going to pitch him irregularly. That would make, I think my antenna would be up more with that. And oh, yeah, by the way, I mean, this is very easily provable. I'm looking at it right now. All right, team average, Yankees versus lefty starters, 237.
Okay.
Versus righties, almost 260.
Okay.
I mean, that's 20 plus points, pretty appreciable. Right. And the OPS against lefties is 705, and versus righties, it's almost 790. So, if they're going to lean on stats, which you can't refute, I'm looking at them right now.
They did say it was
problem with it.
All right,
I would have liked to have seen it. It would have been fun. Do I think that he's, like, wimping out? No, I don't think that.
All right, but then what about the other part of it? Okay, matchup-based. So, I'll take Mendy at his word. And to be fair to him, he's been transparent with the media. So, I'm not going to insinuate that he's lying or trying to cover up. Okay. But if you're Severino, wouldn't you say to him, Mendy, I want the ball game.
Yes, I would.
So he could have also said that. Like, I know the Mets could go to him and say, hey, matchup base, what do you think? And instead of saying whatever you need, say, I want them.
Mm-hmm.
I want them. I want the Subway Series. I want to go face my former team, a team that, you know, let me walk. I know it was bad for them, but I still want to go against them.
Did they give him the option at all? Like, Mendoza receptive to any pushback?
I didn't
hear that part. I just heard the little snippet before we came back.
It just sounded like he basically said that they went to him and told him, and then Severino accepted it, saying, whatever's best for the team, I'm fine. All which right. I do respect, but come on.
Don't
you want to face the Yankees?
Yeah. I mean, I would.
I hate how the Mets have done this for years. Their pitching matchups, like minimizing the importance of the Subway Series. Hey, get it through your heads. It matters. It matters more than the series against the Cubs. You may not want to think it because these stats and data analytical nerds look at all the games the same and think it's more important to move a guy. By the way, BT, how often do teams move up a starter to a regular Sunday night baseball game even? Doesn't matter, right? Hey, he was supposed to start Tuesday. We're going to move him up because of matchup. They don't do that often at all.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not make it like that's a regular occurrence. For years, though, the Mets have not lined up their pitching to have the best pitching possible against the Yankees. And and it's driven me up a freaking wall. These series mean more. They mean more to your fans. Bottom line, if the Mets were dead and buried at 10 games under, the Subway Series would still mean something. Matter of fact, it'd mean even more. So it means something. So to take a guy who you had scheduled to start that game, your best pitcher, against his former team, and move him last minute, which is kind of last minute, your Friday less than a week away, to me, that's, I just don't like that at all.
But it's backed up by stats.
Yeah, well, you know what you could do with the stats? I almost got nasty right there. You saw
I saw it. I saw the gyrations, the veins, the head popping.
You know what
popping.
You could do with those stats?
Okay, but now hold on a second. You said something, honestly, that I think is foolish.
Yeah.
Even though I understand it. You said that the Subway Series means more. Literally, it doesn't. What's more important, playing the Yankees twice or playing the Cubs, who you're competing for a playoff spot, three games? So, team that's in your way, one more game, or the symbolism and the fanfare of the Subway Series, which I like the Subway Series.
Let me ask you this way. If you polled 10,000 Mets fans and said, would you rather get swept by the Cubs and win both games from the Yankees, or sweep the Cubs and lose both games from the Yankees, what do you think their answer would be?
I think most years, I think I know what their answer would be. I think this year might be different.
Maybe I'm
naive with that. But then I would say then they're idiots if they place more emphasis on something that really doesn't mean anything
more
than...
It does mean something. Bragging
rights. Yeah, but the
Cubs
means more because it's another game.
Bragging rights. Well, in that case, then all the games are equal. So I'm giving you the scenario, would you rather beat the Cubs for three games or
I'd
beat the Yankees?
I'd rather win one more game than I lose.
Yeah, no. You can make up that game down the road. I want to sweep the Yankees
every time. I'd save the clip. And listen, who knows if they're going to get swept by the Cubs and or sweep the Yankees. Probably neither will happen. Probably somewhere in between. But save this.
They could sweep both.
Now they could save this because the day that the Mets miss out on the wild card, the final one by a half a game, I want to play this. I want to say, Sal, you had fun beating the Yankees a couple times back in June?
I'll say, matter of fact, I did. You can ask me. I can remember every Mets win against the Yankees starting with 1997. I can remember those for the Subway Series, especially in the beginning. Yeah, Cub wins, regular season? Come on, don't really remember them at all.
Wow. Wow.
It means more.
I
There's an energy. I know what you're saying.
I do get it. I hear you. I do hear you.
I get your side of it. I hate that they, the Mets, take the emotion out of it. Treat it like it is special because it is special to your fans. The Cubs aren't going to sell out Citi Field. The Yankees might. I don't even know in today's day and age. But
we'll make ourselves comfortable. We'll get you up to the 45.
They used to be, whatever, but it used to be guaranteed sellouts. It's going to be close to it. The Cubs on a Tuesday or Wednesday are drawing what for the Mets?
Honestly, the way the Mets are playing, the Cubs have some fans.
Tuesday night, Wednesday night?
25, 28.
And what are the Yankees drawing on a Tuesday, Wednesday night?
Yeah, 35, 38, 40, 40. You mean, wait, Yankees versus Mets or just Yankees versus anybody?
Yankees versus Mets for the Mets.
Sell out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It means more. More people, your fans, the Mets, I'm talking to you, more of your fans care about the Yankee series than they do about this series with the Cubs, which, by the way, is in Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
So it's not just the data.
Yeah, but hold on, that's not true either because I think for the Mets to get the sellout, part of the reason why the Mets will get the sellout against the Yankees is because a lot of Yankee fans are going to be going to City Field.
Well, I mean, that is true. But that makes the Mets fans care even more, too, because now you have Yankee fans in their ballpark. Mm-hmm. It just these games do mean more. Let's not pretend that they don't because they
don't
do.
Literally.
In the standings, they literally don't.
Okay.
But
I'm with you on the other stuff. What's more important, the standings? Yeah. Let me ask you this. Go back to an old-time Mets fan before they had the wild cards, right? So all the years, there was like certainly 84, definitely 85, and even 84, when they kept losing out by a game or so to the Cardinals, right? Think about that. Now, you didn't have a wild card back then, so whatever.
Even
the Yankees losing out to Toronto in the 80s when they had no pitching but big offense with Ricky and Donnie and Dave. I mean, a game can literally mean you're either in the playoffs or you're not.
Right. Okay, let me ask you it this way. Do you think the Mets have a better chance of beating the Yankees with Severino on the mound or David Peterson?
Well, I've got a theory. I think you're going to really appreciate this. I want to save it, though. I've got a theory on why they're actually doing this with Severino. I don't know if I'm right. I want to float it by you. We'll get to it coming up next. BT and Sal.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.